Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When you were a kid, your parents told you to look both ways before crossing the street. But in the District of Columbia, it seems drivers aren't giving pedestrians the same consideration. Injuries and deaths are on the rise in the district. And just this month, we've seen high-profile incidents involving vehicles and children, drivers speeding, running stoplights, stop signs, often near or even through school zones. Why is this happening now? And what is the city doing to address the issue? And what is your responsibility as a driver in all of this? Well, we're talking about this, and joining me tonight to address this issue is Everett Lott. He is the interim director of the D.C. Department of Transportation, and Adam Snyder, director of communications with the Governor's Highway Safety Association. Lines are open. I want to hear what you have to say about this tonight. Our listeners at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I invite you to tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Mr. Lott, Mr. Snyder, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Harold, thanks for having me.
Sure. Also, now that was Mr. Lott.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me, Harold.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so Mr. Lott, let me start with you. Based on the city's Vision Zero information, in 2021, there have been 17 pedestrian deaths. Why do you think that this is happening now? What's going on from your perspective?
Well, Harold, first let me just say that, you know, we at DDOT, we are extremely concerned, just as everyone that's listened to your show and every resident that uses our transportation network, about the number of traffic crashes that have happened recently, especially those involving our most vulnerable population, our children. And so today, more than ever, you know, our street safety remains our paramount for our entire DDOT team and paramount for me. And so what we've seen, though, and we've seen this over the past couple years during COVID, is that, you know, we've definitely had fewer cars on the road, but those cars that are on the road are driving faster, more aggressively, and more recklessly. And I think that's been a kind of a national phenomenon that we've seen, and we've definitely seen it here in Washington, D.C. as well.
I know that last week, I believe it was, as it relates to the incidents around or on Wheeler Road around the Kipp School and some other incidents, that the mayor has been very public about putting up some of the speed cameras and addressing fines and the like. And, you know, and so certainly, you know, we need to talk about the fact that she's been very, very vocal about this. And for those of us who are parents, wherever we live, this is of great concern. But do you believe that this is just about people now? And I guess you really can't count this week, obviously, because things are beginning to, in some way, shape, or form, beginning to slow down again because of COVID. But do you think that is part of it, that this may very well have something to do with people because of the COVID shutdown and then things opening up, that people are just cutting loose, for lack of a better term, with their driving?
You know, I think it's a combination of multiple factors, but the one that seems to be most prevalent is that, again, we have, you know, an issue with distracted driving. And so we really want drivers to remain alert. We want them to travel at or below the speed limit. And we want them always to stop at our red lights and to turn slowly and definitely look and yield to pedestrians as they're entering our crosswalks. And so I've seen this throughout, you know, again, throughout the country, where we have more people that are just, you know, really being distracted and driving more aggressively, I believe, because there's fewer cars on the road.
One of the other things that we have also seen and heard is that, and we could even talk about one of the issues that is coming out of the, you know, related to the trial, even in Minnesota, is that police have been less likely to deal with some of the minor traffic violations, and we don't even have to talk so much about the politics of that, but police focusing more on violent crime and less likely to stop people who may have, expired tags and the like, and people being aware of that. Do you think that may have anything at all to do with it?
Well, you know, Harold, I'd answer the question this way, and I want everyone to understand that safer streets requires everybody's responsibility. So the user of the road, whether you're riding a car, whether you're riding a bike or you're scooting, it's everybody's responsibility. We are going to, re-engineer our roadways in such a way that benefits pedestrians and makes the roadway safer, but we still need our drivers. They have a crucial responsibility when they're traveling the streets like these to use extra caution and watch out for children and watch out for people of all ages that are walking, that are biking, that are scooting. They're trying to get from one place to the next. So it's everybody's responsibility, but we have to be a lot more vigilant on our streets. We have in Washington, D.C., our enforcement at DDOT, rather, we do have street cameras and speed cameras. And most recently, on Willow Road, we have installed two speed cameras in the 3400 block and the 4000 block of Willow Road, where we know has been known for a lot of aggressive driving and speeding. And in the upcoming months, we'll be installing more of those speed cameras throughout the district to increase safety. Again, on Wheeler Road, but also in other parts of the district and throughout the district.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Snyder, what do you think is the problem in the District of Columbia as it relates to the speeding and the kind of driving that I would say, just even anecdotally, as a person who commutes, and I've just seen some really disturbing driving habits, the red light running and the speeding. What's going on from your perspective?
Right. Well, I will add to that anecdotal evidence. I drive about 4 miles down North Capitol Street to my office every day, and I'm right there with you. I feel like there's definitely an increase in people whizzing past you, running red lights, slamming on the brakes at the very last minute, behavior like that. Mr. Lott had a good point about the pandemic. That's definitely a factor. There were fewer cars on the road, but unfortunately it was more dangerous. There was more dangerous driving in the area and just around the country. We in general have a love for speed. There's movies that promote it, and people like to drive fast, and they think it's fun and get a thrill going over the speed limit, and at the end of the day that's just not safe for anyone else around them. So one of the things we need to do is really sort of address this this love of speed that so many people seem to have.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about DC streets, drivers versus pedestrians, and some of the injuries and in some cases deaths that have occurred when drivers are not being as careful, and in some cases pedestrians not being as careful, watching out for the drivers on the streets. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tabitha, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Tabitha. What's on your mind?
Well, I am visiting Maryland for work. I live in Milwaukee, but I'm from Atlanta. And they have the same problem in Milwaukee. It is terrible. And I spoke to a policeman one day, and there people will just come up to the stoplight, look both ways, and go if nobody's coming, even if you're at a red light. They ride in the bike lane. It's just ridiculous. They ride with no tag at all and expired tags. And I was told that it's because of less of a police presence. the a lot of people are quitting the police force, and when you have less of a police presence, people do things. They said they are concentrating more on crimes rather than minor traffic violations. But if the police departments don't get out there and, you know, make it known that if you run this red light, or if you don't have a tag on your car, and start enforcing the fines and giving out tickets, people are going to do what they want. And I think a lot of it is inexperienced drivers.
Hmm.
They talk on the cell phones. Most cars today, newer cars, have Bluetooth, I think up until like 2010.
Yeah.
But you still see people texting and driving. I know in Atlanta, if you pull that phone out, you know, you think the police just fell out of the sky because somebody's going to pull you over.
Okay.
If you don't have a tag on your car at all, they're going to pull you over to see if you bought that car within the last 30 days. And if you have, you didn't get registered or
okay.
tag,
you're going to... Tabitha, thank you so much. I want to ask you, Mr. Lott, because I know we only have you until 7:30, and honestly, I've got a lot to discuss with you in this very short period of time. Do you believe, and I know you can't answer police issues, but do you believe that that enforcement or higher fines is the issue, considering that the District of Columbia already does have some pretty hefty traffic fines already?
Yeah, Harold, you know, I believe it's a combination of a multitude of things. We do have our speed enforcement cameras. We do have our stop sign cameras that do generate some pretty significant fines and penalties. And, you know, I believe it's important, and we're going to install more of those because we need to get drivers' attention and get drivers to slow down. I think it is a partnership between not only our office as a DOT, but also we work very closely with the Metropolitan Police Department and other agencies throughout the government and throughout Washington, D.C. But it's definitely a partnership. At the end of the day, we want to create a safer space and a safer place for all residents and visitors who are coming and using our roadways, using our sidewalks, using our public spaces. And, you know, we're determined to make sure that we do that. And we'll engineer our roadways in such a way to do that as well.
Mm. Let's go to Augustus. Augustus calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Augustus. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I totally disagree with you all putting it on the drivers, and it has nothing to do with whether or not your tag is great, your license is good. The fact is that no one respects the don't walk sign.
Augustus, say that again. You're not clear. You don't agree with the. You say it's not on the drivers. What do you think it is?
It's not on the drivers. It's on the pedestrians. Now, don't get me wrong. Some drivers drive bad. But the fact that in D.C. now, you've lessened all of the, you've taken away lanes. You've taken away lanes. You've added bike lanes. The bikers and cyclists do not respect the traffic law. The pedestrians definitely do not understand what the don't walk sign. The don't walk sign gives us drivers an opportunity to make turns. But you have drivers, you have pedestrians walking in the crosswalk. No one stops that stop sign anymore. No pedestrian walks to a stop sign and stop and look both ways anymore.
Hmm.
They just continue walking. The city has turned into a town opposed to a city. They're setting the city up like it's a town. And it's much bigger than this. And we're losing parking spaces, you know, for bike lanes. We're losing parks. It's the city, one lane. How many streets in D.C. are one lane now? There used to be two or three lanes.
Yeah.
It's too much congestion.
What about that, Mr. Lott? I think he does have a very valid point. As I said in the beginning, it is not just the drivers. Again, anecdotally speaking, we do see drivers, particularly on New York Avenue, who are crossing the street in the middle of New York Avenue, not in the crosswalks, some of them in dark clothes. I've had to slam on my brakes.
Well, again, Harold, as I've said before, is, you know, it's everybody's responsibility. It's all users of the roadway. So whether you're, you know, you're driving in a vehicle, whether you're on a bike, whether you're scooting, we all have to observe the rules of the road. And that's everybody's responsibility. But to that caller's point, to Augusta's point, about, you know, we're a town, we're a city, not a town. You know, D.C. has changed and it is continuing to change. And what D.C. used to be 30 years ago when it really was a commuter town or a commuter where it was really inviting residents from Virginia, Maryland, and other jurisdictions to come in for the 8 hours that they're working here and then leave out. The D.C. is changing now. The population is changing, and a lot of people now are actually living here in D.C. And, you know, we have over 63 or 65% of D.C. residents that actually do not own vehicles and use public transportation. And so, you know, we're, again, re-engineering our roads in such a way that it's going to force cars to slow down, those who still choose to use it to slow down. But we're also using a lot of other means of public transportation. We have our buses, a circular bus. We're doing bus priority throughout the district so that if people want to get on a bus, they will be able to get efficiently around town, very safe and a very affordable way of going from one part of the city to the other.
Augustus, thank you so much for your thoughts and sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about safety on the roads, particularly as it relates to vehicles and pedestrians. How can DC streets be safer for both pedestrians, bicyclists, drivers, and the like? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Everett Lott, Interim Director of the D.C. Department of Transportation, thank you so much for joining the conversation. I'm looking forward to seeing what else is in store to address this problem from the perspective of your office. We are going to continue the rest of this conversation with Adam Snyder, with the Governor's Highway Safety Association, Anthony, calling from Southeast D.C. We're going to be talking to you next, so please do not hang up. The rest of you on the line, do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and I'm sure you have a lot to say, so we want to hear from you. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. Don't forget to download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone, and you will hear the program live in its entirety. We'll be back in just a bit. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about safety on DC streets. Why have we seen an increase in pedestrian injuries, pedestrian deaths? Some 17 deaths this year alone, some 500 injuries in 2021. My guest is Adam Snyder, Director of Communications with the Governor's Highway Safety Association. And of course, you, the listener, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we get back to the phone lines, Adam, talk to me a little bit about the Governor's Highway Safety Association. Specifically, what is it that this association does?
Right. So we represent the state highway safety offices. There's one in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and all the other states and territories around the country. And what those offices do is really focus on the behavioral side of traffic safety. That's working on programs to encourage drivers to buckle up, which we know saves lives, encourages drivers to be sober, never to get behind the wheel after drinking or doing drugs. Distracted driving, a number of other sorts of issues like that where the driver or operator of the vehicle is involved.
What information has your office compiled, if any, that has suggested what may work in making roads safer for pedestrians when it comes to the possibilities of drivers and pedestrians meeting in unfortunate circumstances?
Right. Well, I mean, this really is a crisis. This is a safety crisis. We've had 17 people just taking a walk, trying to get somewhere with their own two legs that have not made it home. just this year alone, which is tragic and unacceptable. But the crisis of this magnitude, we really need to do everything that we know works. Director Latta previously spoke about some of the infrastructure upgrades in terms of Wheeler Road and narrowing lanes to get drivers to slow down. There was a call about enforcement, equitable law enforcement, automated enforcement, speed and red light cameras can help, making crossings safer, extended curb extensions, raised crosswalks, flashing beacons. There's all sorts of different ways to really alert drivers more to pedestrians. And we really need to be doing all of this with the number of people out there dying on our roads now.
Mm. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Anthony, calling from Southeast D.C. Anthony, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm gonna be brief. I'm listening to what they want to do, speed light cameras and all that. The district right now is having a problem with people paying tickets right now from these cameras that done got them speeding through the neighborhood. Okay, right across the line there in Virginia, do what Virginia's doing. Virginia set up speed traps. They stand behind a tree with the radar gun they set up. And if you go over a certain amount of speed limit, lock them up. That's the only way you're going to get stopped. If I know I'm going to get locked up for speeding, then I'm not going to speed. But the district, again, cannot get these people right now to pay tickets that then ran through the red light cameras and the speed cameras. That's not going to do it. You have to put law enforcement out there and stop these people right then and there, pull them over. They changed the law when the no chase law came in. So the officers now see a car speeding. They're not going to chase that car. They're going to let it go by. And as far as the pedestrians, jaywalking, I come up in the area where you got a ticket for jaywalking. These bicyclists, give them tickets. They run through stop signs, red lights and everything, like as if there's no existence anybody else around. So the district has to go back to the old way. Speed cameras is not getting it because you're begging for people to pay these tickets now. Get the cops out there, radar guns, stop them over a certain speed limit, lock them up. If they get 2 days in jail, I know I'm not speeding no more. They're catering everything to the millennials, and that's why it's not working. That's
so,
why we have the situation where we have now.
So, Anthony, here's the thing about what you're suggesting. I want to challenge you on only one point. I am all for, stricter laws that will actually save lives. And I will concede your point about, look, if you're speeding and there's a way that you can stop people from speeding cars and bicycles if they're violating the law. But the jaywalking issue, I think, considering our current socio-political climate, I think that may be problematic. I think that you will find activists, Black Lives Matter activists, and others who will make that a bigger issue, and I think that there are already issues with police confrontations of citizens, and I think I'm not saying you're wrong, but I just see that as a bigger issue. And I can just see right now the jaywalking issue growing from citing somebody in a ticket to a confrontation to resisting to I can't breathe to all kinds of problems.
I think it would go from citing a person versus making a funeral arrangements at a funeral home because they was hit by a car. I think you have to look at it that way, too. Yeah. Black Lives Matter and these other people, they're going to make issues regardless. Anytime that there's a issue where as though they can get seen and things like that, then that's going to be the issue. I'm looking at it as a life-saving matter, not a activist matter, where they want to get involved, where, you know, they can have some way to go at the police. We're looking at you giving me a jaywalking ticket, and the next time I don't walk in across that and I don't get hit by a car, that's where I'm looking at.
I agree with you on that point. If a guy is walking across Florida Avenue in a dark jacket and some dark pants and some dark tennis shoes, and I have the light, and he is walking, you know, or New York Avenue, and I'm doing 30 miles an hour, and he's walking and he's not at the crosswalk, and he's just chilling as he's striding across. Yeah, how many times have I almost hit someone? How many times have I almost hit a panhandler? More times than I can count on my fingers and toes in this past year, giving me a heart attack. Yes, this is a problem. I'm just not sure that jaywalking tickets is the issue. But thank you so much, Anthony, for your input. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jolly calling from Southeast D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
What's up, big bro? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Pretty good, man. I'm just sick of, like, the city, because I feel like they just trying to get some money out of this, because that's all the city is about. It's about money, bro. How is that going to stop accidents of you hitting somebody, you know what I'm saying, or they crossing you, or they crossing the street, you accidentally hit them? What paying fines going to do? The officers need to do their job. I go down Georgetown, uptown, downtown. What the officers doing? Sitting out there on the side on their phone. Do your job. That's why people get killed. Y'all want us to pay fines. For what? That's not going to solve the solution or stop the accident. People going to do what they want to do.
So, well, let me ask you this, Mr. Snyder. Do you believe that fines versus direct enforcement are not working?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are working. I think there's a lot of factors at play here with the pandemic, some of the changes in police departments around the country. There's a lot at play here. They're an effective tool, and I think they help contribute to the solution. But we also need all of these other things. We need safer crossings for pedestrians. We need drivers to slow down and pay attention, not look at your phone. Don't get behind the wheel after having a few drinks. At the end of the day, it's the person behind the wheel is steering the 3-ton chunk of metal, and it's really a lot of that responsibility is on the drivers to be careful and look out for everyone else around them.
Because I think at some point, if you are being fined and you don't pay and your license gets suspended, yeah, for some members of the population, not paying those fines and you have your license suspended, that may be problematic as it relates to your employment. But then obviously, you know, Mr. Snyder, there are some people, as we have seen, and both you and I have spoken about this anecdotally, there are some people who just don't care. And I think those are the people that are really problematic, where I think it's not the ones who are learning the lessons. I think it's the ones who are not learning the lessons, the ones who get impatient next to us at the red light, and then they just shoot off 10 seconds. They treat a red light like a four-way stop. And I think those are the ones that become problematic for the district. And as Jolly is suggesting, yeah, you want the police to do their job, but we, as was suggested earlier, there may be this no chase policy in the district, number one, and you can't put a police officer on every single corner where there is a light.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I think one thing I've heard loud and clear from Jolly and believe just about every other caller is the need for some in-person law enforcement to remind drivers they should not be speeding, to be there if they are speeding, if they're coming too close to a pedestrian, you know, if they're part of this dangerous driving that we're seeing all around the city. You know, that's one thing I've heard from a number of the callers is the need to have some law enforcement out there to help address that.
Yeah. And one of the things that we didn't mention, and Jolly, thank you so much for your comment. One of the things that we did not mention, and Mr. Lott did not mention, and this is one of the things that we've seen here in the district, there's a program that was just instituted last week where they are hiring some 40 more individuals to make sure that that children are going to have a safer back and forth experience getting, you know, walking to and from school. And that certainly has to do with fighting, but also those are more pairs of eyes on the street. And I do think when there are more people on the street, making sure that children get back and forth to school safely, that means that cars are going to slow down. Also, there are going to be more officers in critical areas where there have been problems with traffic enforcement. And I do think that is a good thing. But I think in perpetuity, that's still going to be a difficult thing to maintain.
Right. Yes, it could be, but I mean, we really just need to do everything we can. We've got 17, going back to the statistic you cited before, 17 people went out for a walk and did not come home at the end of the day. You know, that includes a four-year-old just about a mile from where I live over in Petworth. You know, a four-year-old was crossing Georgia Avenue and did not make it home, was struck and killed by a car. You know, I could count off other children. There's too many incidents to name, which is an unfortunate situation. But we really just need to do everything we can to address something like this.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Daryl, calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on, Daryl. What's on your mind?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine.
So there's an issue, though, with the cars that's being produced. You know, you got all these Hellcats, these red eyes. They making all these souped-up cars, and they just feeding people's need for speed. You know, like, what do you need a car on a residential or civilian street that's got 700, 800 horsepower in it? You don't need it. I mean, it's just contributing to the problem, and another thing is, like, in D.C., I mean, I know countless of people. Since when does not having a license stop people from driving? You know, everybody driving without a license or suspended license anyway and all of that stuff. So, I mean, like, it's tough to gauge, and it's tough to say, like, we should do this or we should do this. There's a number of things that need to be done. It's not going to just be one thing that's just going to cure the problem.
Mm. Daryl, thank you so much. I will say that people do like muscle cars, and I think we've seen the return of the muscle cars. I would say probably about 20 years or so ago. That's when we really started to see kind of the increase, whether it's You know, Corvettes have always been popular, certainly. But like you said, some of the other, you know, the Dodge cars and some of the other cars that have become. So I don't think that's going to go away. I think people have always liked that. I really do think that short of a mass change of heart, that the work is going to have to be on the road. But Daryl, thank you so much for your input nevertheless. And to that point, Adam, one of the things that I think could very well do it, and I'm certainly not an engineer by any way, shape, or form, but in areas where I think it is critical around schools and residential neighborhoods, and I kind of touched on this before and you kind of ran through a list, I really do think speed bumps help, because for anyone who really values their car, as Daryl just suggested, if you own a muscle car, then you paid money for it, and you may be an enthusiast. You don't want any teeth rattling bumps such as a speed bump. I mean, that's the whole purpose. You go over it slowly, you're good. You go over it quickly, it's rattling from the rooter to the tooter, so to speak. And one of the things that, for example, where my parents live over in Ward 5 near Catholic University, their roads have speed bumps, and that otherwise without the speed bumps I can, and the roads are wide, and I can see how traffic can really speed through. Those speed bumps are relatively new. They have not always been there, and I have found myself, once those speed bumps were added, I slowed down, because even with my Toyota, I don't want to have to go back to the shop because my car has been, thrown around because of a speed bump. From your perspective, is there something that may be economical for municipalities, specifically like a District of Columbia, that can work where they don't have to spend a lot of money? I mean, what would be the cheapest way? Are speed bumps more expensive, less expensive than, say, speed cameras?
Right. Well, I don't have the pricing of everything right in front of me, sure. But that's, I think speed bumps are the perfect example of a relatively easy, relatively low-cost improvement that shows that it gets drivers to slow down for all the reasons you outlined, too. I'm not actually too far from away from there. I'm about a mile north of the Catholic University area, and I'm seeing more and more of those on the roads around me. Also, just making safer crossings. I've seen a number of intersections where they'll put up bollards around the corners of the intersection. Sometimes they'll also put in a few spots that people will sometimes park the scooters in. But that also allows less space for the car to drive through. That makes it safer for the pedestrian crossing. There's a number of improvements. Those are just a couple examples, but there's a number of improvements like that that are relatively lower cost, easier to do for cities and around the country. But there's also, this is a big safety crisis, and we've got a big backlog. So that's why we really need City, D.C. and cities around the country to do everything they can to really make safety the top priority.
What do you think works best? I mean, based on the kind of work that you've done, what have you seen? I mean, I know you've often focused on D.C., but, through the association, is there information that suggests in other parts of the country, what may work better than other strategies? And I know that the pandemic situation has thrown a bit of a monkey wrench into this situation. Certainly, we've never seen anything quite like this, and so those kinds of things do not. There may not be, the kind of information that allows us to figure out why people are reacting the way they are.
Right. Well, what has worked, and was working fairly well leading up to the pandemic was, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but it was all of the above. It was equitable enforcement of our laws. It was infrastructure that helps make it safer for pedestrians, people walking around across the street. It was road design that gets people to slow down and not drive too fast. Pardon me. It really took an all of the above approach, and that proved effective. We reduced traffic fatalities and for about a decade and a half, and unfortunately they're really surging again now during the pandemic. So that is what has worked, is all of the above.
When I was talking to the caller earlier, and he was talking about issuing citations for jaywalking, your thoughts about that? Do you think I was off the mark there? Because honestly, I just really fear that the confrontation of citizens, you know, particularly the demographic makeup of the District of Columbia and the like, even though it is changing, I worry about police officers confronting citizens for jaywalking. This city moves just too fast for day or night for police officers to, you know, this is, we're just a step down from attitude from New York City. I just don't see that kind of thing going well.
Right. Well, we've actually seen some jurisdictions try to decriminalize jaywalking, so make it so even if police wanted to, they couldn't be giving out a ticket. I think really when it comes to enforcement, there's a need to focus on the drivers who are being the most dangerous and putting people's lives at risk. That's people who are drinking and driving or doing drugs and driving, people who are driving at excessive speeds, things like that are what's really putting lives in danger. And unfortunately, we're seeing the sad results of it this year.
Yeah, I don't think that jaywalking would be the best thing. But one of the other things that your organization does focus on is behavioral safety. What is that specifically?
Well, just in general, behavioral safety, sort of within the traffic safety world, are those times where the human element is involved. That's when you make the decision to buckle up, when you make the decision to call a cab or have a friend pick you up instead of driving home from the bar. It's sort of things like that, as opposed to more vehicle safety or engineering, you know, like road design, things like that. But really, as I've stressed this whole time I've been chatting with you, it's going to take everything. It takes the behavioral piece, but it takes infrastructure. It takes equitable law enforcement. It's really going to take everything if we're going to reverse this trend we've seen of more and more people dying on our roads.
And certainly one of the things we have not really discussed much is the addition of bicycles and the impact that they have on traffic safety. And I think that in the District of Columbia, and look, I'm a bike rider. I don't live in the district. I live in Maryland. But even that behavior, I think that bicyclists really need to pay attention. I think there's an attitude that is between pedestrians and drivers, and that is, you know, bicyclists, and sometimes we have to straighten up and bike ride, if you'll allow me to use that phrase. And a lot of times those of us on two wheels do not. And just because I think municipalities, the District of Columbia specifically, has recognized that there are more of us on the road, I think we need to consider that a privilege and not necessarily a right, because that can be problematic for us as well, because unfortunately we have seen bicyclists this year and last year severely injured, and I know particularly last year or the year before, I think there have been some high-profile deaths as well.
Right, yes. Earlier this year, there was a bike safety advocate, actually, who was killed in a crash on Massachusetts Avenue.
Yes.
Just a few blocks from my office, unfortunately. So it's tragic and unfortunate that we have so many of these recent examples that, that we can cite when we're talking about trying to keep everyone safe on the roads.
Well, Adam Snyder, I want to thank you so much for sharing your insight on this issue. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to finish this here or fix this here, I should say. People just need to be careful. They need to be cognizant of it, and hopefully things will change. If it doesn't, we're going to unfortunately see more victims around the schools, on the roads, and near those crosswalks. Again, Adam Snyder, Director of Communications with the Governor's Highway Safety Association. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Harold.
Sure thing. That is the Daily Drum for SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, December 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.